of course, a component to why the weight has been so stubborn up until this point. But with the right protocol and when we're addressing the right thing, it's very easy to rebalance the body from that perspective and not let that be, you know, a life sentence to stubborn weight. Like, I just don't believe in that. I've seen it solved so many times that I don't believe anything is a life sentence. Okay.
Welcome to the Head to Heal podcast, where you'll go head over heels learning about how the body and the brain work together to either feed disease or fight it. I'm your host, Jordana Sade, certified holistic nutritionist and founder of the Mindful Clinic. With a background in nutrition, behavioral neuropsychology, and hypnosis, I'm going to walk you through the root cause of your symptoms and disordered behaviors. The body has an innate ability to heal. No one is destined for illness, and most, if not all, disorders can be reversed. Come with me as we develop a new understanding of how you can use your head to heal and truly thrive.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Head to Heal podcast. I'm your host, Jordana Sade, certified holistic nutritionist, hypnotherapist, and founder of the Mindful Clinic. I am so excited to talk to you guys about this topic because I've had so many people ask me questions about this. And I mean, granted, it makes sense. Like, we're going to be talking about optimizing your thyroid for metabolism. So when we think about weight loss, the main organ I know we all think about is the thyroid. Now, I'm just going to put it out there. Again, this is a topic for another conversation, but the thyroid is not the main organ of metabolism or fat loss. In my opinion, the liver is. When the thyroid is dysregulated, it's not a root cause. It's like, why is the thyroid dysregulated? And we're going to talk about all of that today. But the thyroid itself is a very important component to healthy weight loss, balanced body, and not just weight loss. Like, there are so many symptoms that are related to the thyroid disorders that can negatively impact your life and your experience. And so I really want to dive deeper today into the thyroid and tell you everything that you need to know about your thyroid and then how to optimize it, right? So we're going to talk about the dysregulation. We're going to talk about the types of disorders. We're going to talk about how it gets like that. We're going to talk about some of the symptoms you might be experiencing. We're going to talk about how the thyroid actually works. And most importantly, we're going to talk about how to actually optimize and fix it so that your thyroid is working for you and metabolizing everything that your body doesn't need and turning it into beautiful ATP or energy. So let's begin. So first and foremost, I just want to say that the thyroid is a very finicky organ, okay? The thyroid is this butterfly-shaped gland. It's an organ, and it rests on your neck, kind of like right over the Adam's apple. And it does play, I can't deny that it plays a huge role in stubborn weight when it's dysregulated, but it certainly is not the full picture. But if there are thyroid disorders present, then the weight will more often than not be affected. So the goal becomes understanding why the thyroid became unbalanced or dysregulated in the first place rather than just optimizing it. And we'll talk about all of that. So this is going to be really fun. And it's been a while since I've actually done a super technical podcast. So get ready, get excited. Let's dive deep on the thyroid. So like I said, the thyroid is this gland. It's an organ. It's a part of the whole endocrine system. Now, the endocrine system is the major system in your body, and it includes all of your hormone organs. So the endocrine system includes things like the thymus, the pituitary, the ovaries, the testes for men, the adrenal glands, the thyroid. Like, it's not just, you know, sex hormones or thyroid. There's this whole complex system that works together. And every organ actually really does work together. So I'm going to give you an example. When women go through menopause, it's not just like they stop making estrogen altogether, like we need estrogen, right? It's just that the ovaries stop making estrogen. So when women go through menopause and they start to experience things like menopausal symptoms, hot flashes, you know, the stubborn weight, all these things, what's happening is the deficiency in estrogen from the ovaries is starting to take a toll on the body. So when the ovaries stop making estrogen, all of the other organs kind of have to pick up the slack. And so the two main organs that will continue to work likely until you die are the thyroid and the adrenal glands. And so when the ovaries stop making estrogen, the adrenal glands and the thyroid pick up the estrogen production. Now, if your thyroid is already very malnourished or deficient or dysfunctional and your adrenal glands are, so you have a lot of stress in your life, then you're likely not going to have a very positive menopausal experience. And I painted this beautiful picture just to show you the way that these endocrine organs work together. So it's not just like when we talk about the thyroid today, that it is really just the thyroid and the function of the thyroid that is going to be a part of this whole stubborn weight loss picture or body balancing picture, if you will, but it is a very important organ. So there are specific disorders that can appear with the thyroid. So we have the hypothyroidism, we have hyperthyroidism, we have goitrogens, we have or goiters on the thyroid gland. We have autoimmune disorders like Hashimoto's and Graves. So hypothyroid is slow thyroid. Hyperthyroid is fast thyroid or too fast thyroid. Goiters are these nodules that can build on the thyroid glands. It's like growths that can become cancerous. And autoimmune disorders like Hashimoto's is an autoimmune that relates to slow thyroid function. And Graves is an autoimmune that relates to too fast thyroid function. But either way, any of the disorders around the thyroid are going to impact things like your weight, of course. So some of the signs and symptoms that you might be experiencing if you experience hypothyroidism, which is the most common type of thyroid disorder, is hypothyroidism. So that is slow thyroid. And the most common signs and symptoms that you'll experience are things like depression, difficulty losing weight, dry skin, headaches, hyperlipidemia, lethargy or fatigue, memory problems, menstrual problems. See, like we're incorporating all the endocrine organs here. Reoccurring infections, sensitivity to cold. So you're like always cold, or Raynaud's syndrome, cold fingertips, nose, toes, thinning of the hair and voice changes. And so as you can see, hypothyroidism, which is slow thyroid, really doesn't, it's not just the stubborn weight. There's all of these other symptoms that you might experience. One that I didn't mention was actually slow motility. So constipation. And hypothyroidism runs in my family. Actually, the majority of women in my family are on hypothyroid medication. So things like Synthroid or thyroxine, depending on the type of doctor you have. But hypothyroidism is low thyroid gland function. So the thyroid gland is basically releasing all of these thyroid hormones throughout the day. The way that it works is the pituitary, which sits in the brain and the nervous system. And this is, again, showing you and highlighting how all of the endocrine organs kind of work together. So the pituitary is going to send a signal down to the thyroid. And this signal is called thyroid stimulating hormone. So the signal is sent in a hormone, thyroid stimulating hormone, or TSH. That signal comes from the pituitary gland to the thyroid organ. When the thyroid organ gets that signal, it's going to release thyroid hormone. So it's going to release T3 or T4. The main difference between T3 and T4 is the amount of iodine that each one has. So your thyroid itself is only going to release T3 or T4, and T3 refers to 3 iodine in order to create it, and T4 refers to 4 iodine in order to create it. Now, the interesting thing here is T4 is pretty much inactive. So T3 is really the active form of thyroid hormone, and this is what is going to bind to the specific receptors on every cell in your body and allow thyroid hormone to function properly. So when we get tested for hypothyroidism, or when we get our thyroid tested on a general CBC, we are more often than not, the doctor is going to look at TSH. That's thyroid stimulating hormone. So that in itself actually doesn't tell us anything about how the thyroid is functioning. All it really tells us is how much of the signal, the thyroid stimulating hormone, is being released from the pituitary. And so really, when we're testing TSH, we're not really testing the actual thyroid directly. We're testing the communication between the pituitary and the thyroid. So when TSH comes up high on a medical test, so typically anything before 5 is considered normal. On an actual clinical test, anything over 5 is considered hypothyroid. So the higher it is when we're testing TSH, the slower the thyroid. Because if TSH is high, it means that there's a lot of thyroid stimulating hormone in the body, which means the pituitary is having to release or stimulate the thyroid over and over and over again, meaning that the thyroid is either not secreting the hormones properly, or those hormones aren't getting into the cell, or they're not active. Like, there's a miscommunication here. But what I can tell you is that testing for TSH is not the entire picture, okay? So if you are struggling with like many of the symptoms that relate to hypothyroidism, like if you're struggling with your weight, your doctor, you're likely going to go to the doctor. A doctor's going to test your thyroid.
If TSH comes up within the normal range, it doesn't mean that your thyroid is normal or it doesn't mean that your thyroid is functioning optimally. It's a much more intricate picture than just looking at TSH, okay? The other thing that I want to say is from a clinical perspective, when you go to the doctor, medical perspective, anything over 5 means you need to be medicated, right? And so when you're looking at those clinical ranges, if you are outside of that range, it means medication or surgery, right? We want to catch it actually before it gets to that point, you know? So from a functional medicine perspective, when I'm reading blood work, anything over 2 for a thyroid, for a TSH is technically hypo in my opinion. This isn't actually just my opinion. This is in functional medicine. And so if you go to like a naturopath or a functional medicine doctor, anything really over 2.0 for a TSH is going to be considered hypo, which means your thyroid's going to be slow. And from a functional medicine perspective, we want to do a deeper dive into what is actually going on here. So like I said, thyroid stimulating hormones being released from the pituitary, it's stimulating the thyroid to release its different hormones, T3 and T4. T4 is pretty much fucking useless. So T3 is really what we want to focus on. Now, there is a deeper picture than this, okay? So what if T4 and T3 are completely normal? Well, there's another component that's actually incredible to test for, and it's called RT3 or reverse T3. Now, what can happen sometimes is T3 hormone, which is our active thyroid hormone, which binds to our cells and tells the cells to metabolize things, right? It tells it to like metabolize, have energy. It also relates to our blood pressure, our heart rate. Like the thyroid is so important for the functionality of our body. It's not just weight loss, right? So if T3 and T4 look normal, but weight is really stubborn, you have all the symptoms, what might be happening is your body might be converting T3 to reverse T3. Now, one of the things, the primary things that will create that reaction or that conversion is high cortisol. So when cortisol is really high, the body actually puts the brakes on metabolism. Because remember, cortisol is that hormone that teaches us like threat to survival, we're in danger. And so the body wants to store everything because it's like, we got to save it for later. What if we're stranded on an island somewhere? You know? And so when we have high cortisol, it actually blocks the T3 from binding to the cell and creates RT3, reverse T3. And reverse T3 cannot really be used. And so RT3 is, when we have that, it's another thing that we want to test, essentially. There's also a couple of other things, and we're not going to beat the dead horse here with the testing, but if you actually want to do a full functional thyroid panel, you also want to be testing your antibodies. We want to be looking like, do you have an autoimmune on the thyroid? If we develop an autoimmune, so Hashimoto's or Graves' disease, that's like the hypothyroid or the hyper. The autoimmune is coming from the gut. All autoimmunes relate to leaky gut. And so what happens is like within leaky gut, and if you don't know how you get leaky gut, there are earlier episodes that talk about this, likely an episode where I talk about digestion. We can link it up in the show notes. But if we have a leaky gut, we have these, or the gut or the small intestine, the intestinal wall is made up of these tight junction cells, and they kind of look like this, right? So when we have a lot of inflammation, it creates these gaps in the tight junction cells, and then large molecules are able to go in. So typically that those tight junction cells should be semi-permeable. So it really should only be letting in very, very small molecular compounds that are things like vitamin A, vitamin B, vitamin D. They go into the bloodstream. The bloodstream is like, okay, these are vitamins, or like these are going to feed the cell. And it puts it to the liver. The liver sends it to the rest of the cells and the body where it needs to go. Now, when we have leaky gut, there's inflammation behind the cellular wall, or there are pathogens, and it creates these big gaps in the tight junction cells, so larger molecules are able to go through. Now, the problem here, and this is one of the reasons why hypothyroidism is directly related to gluten intolerance, is when larger molecules go through that intestinal wall and into the bloodstream perceives it as a foreign invader. So two things are happening here. One is cortisol is spiking. It's like, oh shit, foreign invader, sound the alarm, create an immune complex. So like our T3 is converting to RT3. We're not burning anything. We're not like optimizing our metabolism. That's not happening. The other thing is a lot of the gluten-like molecules are very similar to the thyroid molecules, that the molecules of the actual organ in the thyroid. And so they look the same from a molecular structure component. And so what starts to happen is when we create immune complexes for things like gluten, our body starts to attack its own organ. And that's actually essentially how we get the autoimmune disorder. And so I'm just going to put this out there. Like, obviously, I'm not a doctor, like disclaimer, all of those things. But I have worked with so many women that have autoimmune disorders. And at very least, when we address the leaky gut and we like continually balance the body, a lot of these disorders can go into remission, and definitely is, of course, a component to why the weight has been so stubborn up until this point. But with the right protocol and when we're addressing the right thing, it's very easy to rebalance the body from that perspective and not let that be, you know, a life sentence to stubborn weight. Like, I just don't believe in that. I've seen it solved so many times that I don't believe anything is a life sentence. Okay. So hopefully you're following me up until this point, but there are two types of hypothyroidism. And again, we are going to focus mostly on hypothyroidism because this is a podcast on weight restoration. And so the first type of hypothyroidism is when thyroid stimulating hormone, so that TSH from the pituitary, is elevated in the blood. Okay. TSH is elevated, but thyroid hormone is low. Now, this is called primary hypothyroidism, and this is the most common. And this really indicates a defective thyroid hormone synthesis. So this means that TSH is like spiked. It's like, oh my God, stimulate the thyroid. And the thyroid hormones are low, meaning the thyroid's unable to synthesize that hormone. And that can happen for a number of reasons, which we'll get into detail. The second type of hypothyroidism is when TSH levels are low and thyroid hormone levels are also low. This indicates that the pituitary gland is responsible for the low thyroid function. And this is called secondary hypothyroidism. And actually, I see the primary hypothyroidism is the most common if we look at statistics from the general public. But in my practice, because I work with so many people that have like nervous system issues, in my practice, I actually think secondary hypothyroidism is arguably more common and is usually also coupled with symptoms of things like adrenal fatigue. So hopefully you're catching what I'm putting down and understanding that hypothyroidism, doing a TSH test, is just simply not enough to like really actually understand the whole picture of the thyroid. And the thyroid is such an important organ when it comes to weight loss that like we do actually want to get a full picture, okay? Okay, now let's talk about thyroid synthesis, or thyroid hormone synthesis, and how it can become denatured, or, you know, how it maybe becomes inactive, or how we're unable to create it, and like just kind of where things go wrong. So the two main nutrients to create thyroid hormone are iodine and tyrosine. You know, there's a lot, selenium is really important. We can talk about all that stuff, but at the end of the day, iodine and tyrosine are the most important. Now, iodine is what makes up T3 or T4, right? T3 has 3 iodine, T4 has 4. Iodine is really not in like prevalent or abundant in the North American standard diet, right? And so if we go to places like Asia or places that have right by the sea and it's warmer there, a lot of their foods are incorporating things like seaweed, or there's a lot of seafood. And now, granted, the sea has a whole other issue with toxicity and all of that stuff, but we're just going to leave that aside for now. But even when we go to warmer countries where we're right by the ocean, there's more iodine will travel in the air. So if you notice and you look at people, and I notice this when I go on vacation, but if you look at people that live by the ocean, they're significantly healthier. They have lower body fat. They're just like, they're leaner, they have less cellulite. There's so much that we can say. And part of that is iodine will actually travel in an airborne like way from the sea in that air. And there's a specific range, I can't remember it off the top of my head, but there's a specific range where it kind of dies off. But I can tell you right now, as I am like comfortably sitting in the middle of fucking Canada, inland in Toronto, like I'm not getting any of that benefit for sure. Right. So iodine then got added into all of the salt because we started to realize, oh my gosh, everybody has fucking hypothyroidism. And so they started putting iodine into salt, like adding it synthetically.
And this is where we get iodized salt from. Now, that the problem with that is that salt is bleached to look like everything else. And so it has a whole bunch of other problems. And the type of iodine that they're using is very cheap iodine, and it's actually not even really absorbable. So I do not suggest getting your iodine from iodized salt. I do suggest having an abundance of sea salt in your diet, or, you know, we use this, the Celtic salt. I love that. Or sometimes we use this really fancy, I can't remember what it's called, but my husband uses it to like finish plates. Hi, babes. I am so excited to talk to you about my signature program, The Mindful Method. This is the exact same method that I have been using with hundreds of successful clients to help you heal your relationship to food, to increase confidence, and to lose weight without dieting or killing yourself at the gym. If you're sick of not feeling like your best self, if you're sick of promising yourself that you'll start again on Monday, if you're sick of going on restrictive diets only to gain back the weight, I can tell you right now that if you gained it back, it did not work. You know what's healthy and what's not. You do. You just continue to choose the unhealthy option anyways. And a meal plan will not solve this issue. There is no amount of restriction or discipline or willpower that is going to stop you from self-sabotaging. The body follows the mind. Imagine a life where you don't have to think about what you can or can't eat. Imagine a life where you feel confident in all of your clothes, where every day and every way your body rebalances and you lose all of the weight so you find the truest, healthiest version of yourself. Imagine never having to start again on Monday. This is what happens when you focus on transforming the brain so weight loss is effortless. The body follows the mind, and it's time you actually get to the root cause of your issue. If you are ready to transform and find the truest, healthiest version of you without letting go of your favorite foods, I invite you to fill out the application in my bio. And if you're a good fit, we'll be in touch soon. Back to regular programming. But the Celtic salt is definitely the most therapeutic one if you are going to get a multi-mineral from your salt intake. So anyways, iodine is really important. Now, the cool thing about iodine is that it is a halogen. Now, what a halogen is it's a part of the periodic table, and there are a bunch of different nutrients isn't the right word, a bunch of different molecules that are in this halogen family. Now, halogens will actually compete for absorption. So remember how I said like type 1 or the primary type of hypothyroidism is TSH is high. So the pituitary is sending the signal over and over again. And the thyroid hormones are low, which means that something is going wrong with the thyroid. The thyroid is unable to create thyroid hormone. This is where this gets really important because we need iodine and we need tyrosine in order to create that thyroid hormone. Now, because iodine is a halogen, if we are exposed to any of the other halogens in abundance, they're going to compete for absorption with iodine. So some of the other halogens are fluoride, which is like in our toothpaste and in our water, okay? Bromide, which like isn't in very many things, but it's in rice. It's in a lot of grains. Chlorine, again, in our fucking water. Like, so basically, iodine is competing for absorption with these things that we are exposed to every single day. And in the same way where iodine can travel like in an airborne like way, even if you have a water filter, like you're likely not filtering out all of the fluoride and chlorine, but also like what are you taking a shower in? Like your skin is also absorbing these things. And so we can start to get a little bit crazy, right? And I definitely don't want to push you guys in that direction, but these are things to think about if you're struggling with hypothyroidism. Like it's not as simple as just, oh, let's take Synthroid and fucking call it a day. And if you're listening to this episode and you have hypothyroidism, tell me honestly, like message me on Instagram, has your medication solved the problem? Because I work with so many people who are on medication and okay, yes, it doesn't, like it definitely is going to do something, hopefully, but there's no way that it's going to leave your body balanced and optimal because it's not the whole picture. Yeah. So the other thing that's important to understand, the other component that will affect the way that your thyroid releases thyroid hormone and those hormones interact with one another is something called goitrogens. So these are environmental goitrogens, and goitrogens can be a few things. They're like their Perlow, their chemicals basically. And they, goitrogens can also be a type of bacteria that will grow on cruciferous vegetables. And so when I have clients with like severe hypothyroidism, it's not that you can't have cruciferous vegetables. It's just that they would need to be steamed. So those goitrogens are killed off. But goitrogens are actually going to affect the way that they almost act like a halogen. So they're competing with iodine for absorption. They tend to inhibit thyroid function. And so cruciferous vegetables being like cauliflower, broccoli, cabbage, all of those things, those are things that you would want to at least steam if you have severe hypothyroidism. Now, from an emotional perspective, oh my gosh, you didn't think we'd go through a whole episode without talking about emotions, did you? This is the Mindful Clinic, my friends. And so from an emotional perspective, when we see thyroid disorders, there's a heavy focus on not speaking your truth, right? And so I know like my husband's mother died from thyroid cancer, and her story is pretty tragic, to be honest. She died actually right when we met, but she was a woman who basically shut her mouth, put up with a lot of shit, and like carried the weight of the world on her shoulders and never really complained or talked about it, and like never could find her voice, never could speak up for herself, never could hold strong boundaries. And so when I see a lot of thyroid disorders, my immediate thought is like, where are you silencing yourself? Like, where did you learn to not speak up for yourself? Like, do you feel uncomfortable taking up space, right? Are you speaking your truth, or are you afraid to even just be yourself around people, right? Like, are you filtering your own behavior, thoughts, feelings, words, because you want to be perceived a specific way that isn't actually true to your innate design? So that is just one thing that you might want to dive in a little bit deeper if you are experiencing any thyroid issues. Okay, so we talked about cortisol and deficiencies being one of the top reasons why the thyroid might go haywire, also emotional reasons, but probably the main thing that I see in my practice, and again, like this will also relate to cortisol and all that stuff, is just pathogens. So there are certain pathogens that love the thyroid gland. I see thyroid parasites all the time with my clients, and clients that do have thyroid parasites, sometimes when they do the parasite cleanse, they actually gain even more weight. And that is very scary, I'm sure, for them to go through. And this is why, of course, you always want to work with a practitioner, because thyroid parasites are not a fucking joke. And if you have autoimmune disorders, the likelihood of there being parasites are very, very high, because autoimmune disorders, remember, relate to leaky gut. And leaky gut means that there are like penetrations within the gut intestinal wall. And a lot of that happens from actual parasites like burrowing themselves in there. So I'm going to leave that there, but just because we need to understand root cause approaches, taking selenium or fucking iodine or tyrosine is not going to solve the problem of hypothyroidism if the problem is like you have parasites on your thyroid, right? And so now with that said, let's move on to how can we repair? Like, what can we actually fucking do about it? How do we optimize it? How do we heal from this? So going through the things that we've already talked about already, of course, lowering your cortisol, healing your gut, doing a detox, like the mindful detox will get rid of parasites. Like doing all of those things are significantly going to affect the thyroid in a very positive way. Balancing hormones so your thyroid isn't so overwhelmed, and like all the endocrine system, the whole endocrine system is actually doing its job. But from a nutritional perspective, like from the nutrients, of course, iodine we've talked about, but too much iodine can actually slow thyroid gland synthesis. So like this is one of those things where we really do want to balance. Also, I'm very hesitant with tyrosine. I used to be obsessed with balancing neurochemicals, with taking things like 5-HTP and tyrosine and like all the fucking things, L-theanine. But because I've done so much research in dopamine, tyrosine is also the precursor to dopamine. And so just like dopamine, when we have a balance of dopamine, it feels really good. We feel like satiated. We feel motivation. We feel a sense of reward and pleasure. When we have too much dopamine, we actually feel a big void, because when a lot of dopamine is released, it leaves us in the state of like we feel temporary pleasure and then we feel immediate craving for more of that. And so I used to fuck around with tyrosine all the time. And I was like, I'm even more hungry than I was before. And that's because I'm not actual hunger, just desire to eat. That's because I was releasing so much dopamine because I was taking tyrosine and it wasn't balanced. And so, and it's hard to know where your balance is, right? Like we can't take a blood test for this. So we do see this a little bit on the Dutch test. So if you want to run the Dutch test and you're in my practice, or even if you're not and you want to run the Dutch test, hit us up. We can do that for you. But anyways, if you're taking too much tyrosine, it's going to release too much dopamine, which is actually going to make you feel more of a void and leave your brain searching for external validation or reinforcement or satisfaction in the form of like other substances. So maybe that's smoking, maybe that's drinking, maybe that's eating for my past and my network, quite frankly. But too much iodine, too much tyrosine, not good. The right amount is perfect. And that's why I recommend doing it from a food perspective. That's why I talked about the salt. I can't remember the actual, oh yes, I can. It just came to me. So I actually saw this. This was on a reel, but this was a medical doctor that was talking about it. And I love her. I follow her on Instagram. But she was talking about how, because I used to put salt in my water, a pinch of salt, right in my water first thing in the morning. And that would give me the minerals for the day. And it would also give me the iodine. It would also help with my water retention in a very positive way. I think salt has a really negative connotation when in reality, if the salt is balanced, it's actually going to help to pump out waste and pump in healthy water to cleanse and detox the body. So it's not always going to make you swell, right? And so in the morning, I would just put a little pinch in my water. But because the molecules in the salt and molecules in water, like the salt will basically eat up the water molecules right in the water glass. And what we want those salt molecules to do is actually get into our cells. So with the Celtic salt, it's really large granules. I actually just put a granule on my tongue first thing in the morning so that all of those beautiful nutrients and minerals, there's like 90 vitamins and minerals in Celtic salt, will just literally go directly into my cell. And then once it dissolves, then I drink my water. Okay. So I would do iodine from salt, and tyrosine you can do actually from a psychological perspective. We can manipulate neurochemicals just by thought alone. That is a topic for another day. But the other nutrients that are important are things like zinc, selenium, vitamin E, vitamin A, and they all function together in order to manufacture the thyroid hormone. Selenium is a really important nutrient for the thyroid, and it's not in a lot of our foods. And you can get enough selenium in like four to five Brazil nuts for the whole day. And so if you want to support the thyroid from a food perspective, just have like 4 to 5 Brazil nuts a day. If we actually take too much selenium, so we would eat like 100 or 200 Brazil nuts, you could literally die. So please really just keep it from 4 to 5 for me. And I like doing it from a food perspective because actually taking selenium might, again, it's all about balance. So it might not be exactly what you need. And it's also not going to be as absorbable as a food. Okay. Another hormone that is related to hypothyroidism is DHEA. And, you know, the mechanism here isn't 100% clear, but it likely relates to the autoimmune condition as well as the high cortisol. But when DHEAs are a hormone of longevity and when DHEA is low in the Dutch test, then hypothyroidism is usually prevalent, as well as high estrogen. So when estrogen is high, and this isn't even like clinically high, it can be within range in the clinical, but if estrogen is dominant, meaning it's higher than progesterone, if it is just like out of range, if there's too much estrogen, basically the liver is going to create a hormone called thyroid binding globulin, and that is going to bind to the thyroid hormone and prevent thyroid hormone from working. So high estrogen and low DHEA are other kind of like root causes from a hormonal perspective that we would want to work on. I don't love recommending actually taking hormones. I think that it's important to teach the body how to create those hormones on their own. But I have in some cases for a very short amount of time given DHEA to clients like just for a month. And then, but I've never given, you wouldn't want to give estrogen. I've helped to detox estrogen or remove it so that we're not creating so much thyroid binding globulin. But with DHEA, it would be a very short term supplement. Now, Some of the herbs that I love that support the thyroid are Tongkat Ali. Tongkat Ali is going to support thyroid. It's going to support cortisol levels. It's going to support estrogen detox, and it's also going to support libido. Fuck yeah. Because I didn't even mention, I buried the lead the whole time. Usually with thyroid disorders, we have low libido, which fucking sucks. Like, our libido is our zest for life. And also, when I have clients that have low libido, it tells me a lot about how they're burning fat. And so that's one of the questions that I ask right off the bat when you are in the mindful method. And I will address it immediately with Tongkat Ali and a bunch of other things, because it's not just about me hoping that you have a good sex life. It's about the fact that if you have a very low libido, either testosterone is low or the thyroid is not working properly. And in either way, Tongkat Ali is going to address testosterone. It's going to balance testosterone. So it works like an adaptogen. So if it's too low, it's going to bring it up. If it's too high, it's going to balance it to a normal place. It's going to do the same thing with cortisol. So if it's too low, it's going to bring it up. If it's too high, it's going to bring it down. And it's going to help to detox estrogen. And it's going to work on progesterone in a very out of the box way. But Tongkat Ali is one of my favorite herbs to actually balance. Now, Tongkat Ali is known as a male herb, and so it's very masculine. So I have a lot of clients that are like, we're trying to get into our feminine. Like, why are you recommending Tongkat Ali? And it really depends on the person, but you know, we need a balance of the masculine and the feminine, but we need a balanced masculine, not like a wounded masculine. And so I will use this herb in combination with other things to just enhance the feminine parts of it. But it is very effective. The other one is ashwagandha. Ashwagandha has like been researched for so long on its effective efficacy for thyroid function. Again, it works like an adaptogen. So if it's low, it's going to bring you up. If it's high, it's going to bring you down. Ashwagandha though is contraindicated for anybody with an autoimmune disorder. So there have been some studies that have come out saying that like sometimes it can exacerbate the autoimmune disorder. Again, like this is very early research. From what I've read, I'm like, it's not fully conclusive, but I still, just to be safe, would stay away from it. From a diet perspective, we would definitely want to eliminate the goitrogens. So any cruciferous vegetables or like anything in the brassica family. So like turnips, cabbage, rutabaga, mustard greens, radishes, horseradishes, cassava roots, soybeans, peanuts, pine nuts, millet, broccoli, etc. As well as we would want to increase things like fish oils, like anything that's going to be anti-inflammatory. We would want to enhance things that have high selenium, so like the Brazil nuts and also zinc, iodine, seaweed, that type of stuff. And from a lifestyle perspective, we also want to try and reduce gluten for sure. And then from a lifestyle perspective, you can do things like castor oil packs on the thyroid. I love the company Queen of Thrones. We can link them up in the show notes. We would want to look for estrogen dominance. So you want to run a Dutch test for sure. You would want to do a full thyroid panel. So when I get my clients to go in and do blood work, I'm like, a CBC is fine. Just give me a full thyroid panel. Don't bring me TSH and tell me anything about it. Okay. I need to know more. We would also want to address pathogens, repair the leaky gut, work on the high cortisol. And then from an exercise perspective, most of the research suggests that high intensity workouts for hypothyroidism is better because it's going to help to stimulate the thyroid. I actually fully fucking disagree with this, but I'm like, I can't ignore the research. I disagree with this because it's not the thyroid alone that creates the problem. So if like we are also in adrenal fatigue and then we throw a high intensity workout in, we might like over time not feel better. A really good way to know if it's your thyroid or your adrenals, because they both have very similar symptoms. Like with adrenal fatigue, hair loss is going to be there. Stubborn weight is going to be there. You're going to be cold all the time and you're going to have fatigue. And these are all hypothyroid issues. So a really good way to tell if you're hypothyroid or if you have adrenal fatigue is to assess if you feel better or worse after exercise. With adrenal fatigue, not just like a walk, because that's going to feel good for everybody. Hopefully. But with adrenal fatigue, after a workout that's like moderate to high intensity, you are going to feel worse. You're going to feel more drained. With hypothyroidism, after exercise from a moderate to high intensity, you're going to feel significantly better because it's going to stimulate that thyroid temporarily and you're going to release more thyroid hormone in order to keep up or match the level of activity that you're doing. Now, that's where the research is, and that's why it's like, okay, high-intensity workouts is going to stimulate the thyroid, which seemingly is better. But if we understand the whole endocrine system as a whole here, stimulating the thyroid temporarily might actually throw other things off balance. So like if there's adrenal fatigue present, then the adrenals are going to become more tired. If there are pathogens, it's just going to continue to deplete you. And so this is why you just really need to look at your body from a whole picture. But definitely, definitely, definitely with any type of hypothyroidism, whether it's Hashimoto's or hypothyroid, exercise is very important. Daily movement is very important. A simple walk is great. Anything like sauna, anything to heat up your body is awesome. And actually, one of our teachers taught us this method in class. And like, I'm almost nervous to say this online because I don't want people, because you can like create hyperthyroid this way. So you just want to be mindful, but you can actually just stimulate your thyroid just by like touching your Adam's apple. So you just want to kind of like rub it maybe like 6 to 12 times. And already, like you might just get like a boost, a boost of energy. Already, you're just going to activate the thyroid. So you don't want to do that a million times a day because remember, it's all about balance, but it is an effective way to treat the thyroid in a pinch. Okay, my friends, I believe that I have probably given you more than you needed to know about thyroid hormone. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out. We're happy to help. The Mindful Method will deal with a lot of thyroid issues as well as the Mindful Detox. Obviously, everything is all in one. But if you suspect hypothyroidism, just going to your doctor and asking for a full thyroid panel, I think is the first step. And if they just give you TSH, making sure you're looking for, okay, am I under 2? But if you're under 2 and you're still experiencing the symptoms, it might be that the issue is with the pituitary and not the thyroid, okay? So if thyroid stimulating hormone is low or normal and thyroid hormone is also low, then we need to be testing for thyroid hormone as well. All right. The only other thing that I want to touch on is, of course, the event. Oh my gosh, it's coming up so soon. I am so excited. We're literally in full fucking blown event mode. We just got all of the merchandise and I want to wear it every day. It's the cutest thing ever. The gift bags are insane. Like, our sponsors are amazing. I'm very grateful. It's very expansive. Really, what this event is about is this is about creating a catalyst of change for yourself. This is about transformation. This is about reprogramming your mind to experience the things that you deserve to experience. This is about healing the body so you no longer have to deal with this negative feedback of fucking symptoms all day long. And this is about connecting to your soul's purpose so you always feel purposeful, fulfilled, etc. I read this thing the other day and it was like, when you feel purposeful, remember when you were a kid and you would be going on a field trip that day, or like when my parents would take me to Canada's Wonderland, which is this like theme park, I like wouldn't even be able to sleep. I'd be so excited to wake up for the day. I can't tell you how many women I meet that are genuinely terrified to wake up. Like, they wake up and they remember who they are and they just want to go back to sleep. And there is nothing more fucking tragic than that. Like, we have one life to live, my friends, and you deserve to be happy. You deserve to find the healthiest version of yourself. You deserve to live your best life. And that is what this event is all about. We are going to teach you the ins and outs of how I did it in my life. I remember waking up, hating myself, not wanting to wake up. I've been there too many times in the past. And now waking up feeling like every day is a fucking field trip is just an absolute gift. And I want to share that with all of you guys. So not just that, but we have guest speakers. Dr. Taggy's coming to do live healing soul surgery for you guys so we can address all of the soul wounds. The gift bags are insane. The food is going to be amazing. Like, I could go on and on and on, not to mention the post-event support, the integration, all of the stuff that's included. It literally is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And as you know, the event is being held in Toronto, where I am. But most of the people coming are from the States. So this is very expansive for me. I'm very grateful for you guys. If you are planning on coming to the event, you want to move fast because tickets are going fast. And I love you all. If you like this episode, don't forget to like and subscribe and share it with somebody who might need it. All right, my friends, I'll see you back on another episode of the Head to Heal podcast. Bye.